Lord, we pray that your grace may always precede and follow us, that we may continually be given to good works. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from Isaiah chapter 25, verses 1 through 9. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you, I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things. Plans formed of old, faithful and sure. For you have made the city a heap, the fortified city a ruin. The palace of aliens is a city no more, it will never be rebuilt. Therefore, strong peoples will glorify you. Cities of ruthless nations will fear you. For you have been a refuge to the poor, a refuge to the needy in their distress, a shelter from the rainstorm and a shade from the heat. When the blast of the ruthless was like a winter rainstorm, the noise of aliens like heat in a dry place, you subdued the heat with the shade of clouds. The song of the ruthless was stilled. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Shepherd me,
beyond my wants, beyond.
Comfort me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life.
A reading from a letter of Paul to the Philippians. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. My brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and by supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew chapter 22, as we say together, Glory to you, Lord Christ. Once more Jesus spoke to the people in parables, saying, The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, Tell those who have been invited, Look, I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. And then he said to his slaves, "The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet." Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad, so that the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, "Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." The Gospel of the Lord, as we say together, "Praise to you, Lord Christ." Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and his risen, living, and returning Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in the love, the joy, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's unmistakable. It's so very important and so very timely for you and me and our life together at St. Andrew's. I'm referring to the extravagant banquet with God as the host, because you see, that's the focus on this 19th Sunday after Pentecost, given the selection of readings from Matthew, Isaiah, and the 23rd Psalm. Most of us are aware of this biblical image for describing God's end-time feast. Certainly, it's symbolic of God's reign, the arrival of the kingdom of heaven, and God's abundant grace. We all recall the psalm. Frankly, I prefer the King James translation. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup overflows." But while we all like a good party, it's a curious metaphor indeed, isn't it? Because parties never seem to go exactly as planned. Take the guest list, for example. According to Isaiah, all are invited. The word "all" is used no less than 5 times in only 3 verses. It says, "On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, a well-aged wine strained clear." Really? All? Is there no care to crafting a proper guest list? Then there's Matthew, whose celebration begins with a select list of invitees who refuse to come, so that the host is then forced to invite everyone in sight. After all, somebody has to eat this food and drink the wine. And finally, there are those guests you simply don't know what to do with. They show up and clearly did not pay attention to the dress code on the invitation. Please stay with me as we further explore this party metaphor in our scriptures this morning. You see, when we stop to think about it, hosting a party is not so easy. In fact, it means being vulnerable. It's risky business, this dinner party business. Did I invite the right people, we think? Will they get along? Who should sit next to whom? Will the guests like the food? Will the timing work out? Did I choose the right kind of beverages? And it goes on and on. But there's more. Parties, events, well, they're always a cause of reflection on their success. We ask ourselves, was it a good party? Did people have a nice time? Should I have served that dish? Did I tend to all the guests equally? Will they want to come back if invited again? And we haven't yet even touched on the actual act of inviting people into our home. Stay with me in the metaphor. Stop to think about it. That's a lot of exposure, a lot of intimacy, where the guests might see your attempts at what I call controlled perfection. For example, when my wife and I host folks for dinner, there's a very high level of cleaning, dusting, mopping, setting the table and setting the candles just right. All the while wondering if our guests might notice a disconnect between us, the us they know outside of our home, and now what you look like in our own home. What I'm saying is that in the end, hospitality is not always a positive thing, because there's a risk involved on the part of both the host and the guest. And hospitality, both offering it and receiving it, can be downright uncomfortable and sometimes even hurtful. So the question every day, and especially on Sunday as we gather for worship at St. Andrew's, is what does the parable about the wedding feast, especially from Matthew, have to do with us? The parable invites the question, am I invited? Am I the chosen? Will I choose the right outfit to wear to the banquet? And if we're honest, we also find ourselves in the space of wondering about others. Who will be invited? Why were they invited? Who put this guest list together anyway? If the sense is that we have reduced the parable to merely a story about party planning 101, then we have yet to explore the depths of what it means not to be offered hospitality, not to be invited, perhaps even rejected. We know this. We've experienced it somewhere in our life story. We all have. What it feels like to not be included. I have some personally very painful childhood memories of being one of the kids on the playground being selected last to be on a certain baseball team. Maybe you can identify with this kind of thing yourself. It could be with this kind of willingness to name the underside of hospitality that we truly are able to hear the all of Isaiah that includes those deemed unworthy by others and sadly by themselves. You see, there's a lot at stake for God in this hospitality parable, and not just the satisfaction of throwing a good party. God puts God's very self out there, vulnerable, open to having those invited through God's presence as Emmanuel, meaning God with us. In the end, what matters to you and me and our congregation is that God simply won't give up until the dining room is full, even overflowing, perhaps embarrassingly so. Uncomfortably so? Our mission discovery and our future here on First Avenue, Aberdeen, Washington, has everything to do with how we choose to get in step with the guest list God has in mind for us. Oh, I know. It's a big challenge for all of us. But we have an awfully big-hearted God for whom nothing is impossible. Amen.